We're the only people standing in between the cotton candy goblin and wanton destruction of the human race. Like, I'd sign up for that church. Got a holy order of monks that protects the church barbecue.
There you go.
Yeah.
Welcome to the What's Up Verdict podcast, where we fashion ourselves cinematic judge and jury. My name is JJ Crowder. I'm here with my co-hosts, Mattson Heiner.
Better red than dead.
And Alec Purchase.
Let's get it.
We appreciate you tuning in. Go ahead, hit that follow, subscribe, like, bell, notification buttons. Helps us grow the podcast. Also, tell a friend about us. Tell your family about us. Tell a used-to-be famous writer about us. That would work. So, yeah, with that. Before we get into our movie, the fourth movie of our April.
Third.
Horror.
Right?
It's fourth. I know. April's been wild. It's the fourth movie of our April horror bonanza. Let's talk about our sponsor, as you can see down there in the corner, Manscaped. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. And this month, because it's testicular cancer month, awareness month, did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? It is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. And with April being National Testicular Cancer Month, awareness month, that's a mouthful. As I said, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Go ahead and visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. I feel weird every time I say that line.
You're so hip and young, Jay.
Check yourself. Anyway, for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use our promo code THEVERDICT for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So go do both. It's definitely a good cause to go. And it's good information because if you have testicles, you want to make sure that they are cancer free, or if they aren't, that you get that figured out early. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That's why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. I almost said we, and I was like, wait, that would be difficult. help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off plus free shipping with code THEVERDICT. Because like a famous philosopher once said, take care of your chicken, your balls, and your mentals. No poems for us today, Mattson.
I mean, I can't do it every time. They got to say special.
I know. Just checking. If you want to hear a Mattson special, go check out last week's episode. It's worth it just for that. With that, let's jump in to our episode. Today we are reviewing Sinister. It was released October 12th, 2012. It was written and directed by Scott Derrickson. It starred Ethan Hawke, Juliet Rylance, James Ransom, Fred Thompson, Michael Hall Daddario, Claire Foley, Travis Smiley, Victory Lee, and because I'm a dumbass, Chester the Chihuahua. also had Vincent D'Onofrio. I forgot I had it until I was rewatching it. So with that, it's about a controversial true crime writer who finds a box of Super 8 home movies in his new home, revealing that the murder case he's currently researching could be the work of an unknown serial killer whose legacy dates back to the 1960s. It's a bit of a deceptive synopsis there at the end, but whatever, we'll talk about it. This was another one of mine. I'm loaded with picks this month. I was trying to mess up Alec and it just didn't work. So
it kind of has been working in the retrospect. Like, I've been shook the last couple of days. Oh, she's been working a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, now that I've had the ability to kind of sit on it a little bit, like, shit's been happening, like weird fucking shit. And that's been happening. God damn it.
That's great. I love that, dude. Just so you know, it's wonderful. Oh, God. See?
And fucking, like, I swear lights have been turning back on after I've turned them off. Like, shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I've either been really, really feeling bad or some fucking shit's been happening. It's been bad, dude. Like, I've been off my game just, like, ever so slightly. They were even telling me this at work. Like, I've been different. Mm. Like, you combine that with every other thing that happens in my life. And you know, I was fine when I watched this. I was even texting you, like, super confident, like, the bee's knees, like, I got this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was fine for, like, two goddamn days. And now, strange shit's been happening to me, JJ. I'm losing my goddamn mind.
Since, as Taylor would say, Vatsa, we send him the bad juju.
Yeah. Mm. Juju Magumbo. Bad juju, man.
That's funny. I like it. Sorry, dude.
I fully expect my internet to go out or something weird to happen. Like, I get all glitchy, like when we did the host.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
Fully expect that.
Yeah, you get it with horror stuff. I get it with when we start talking about government corruption and government's out to get me. Look, this is like, so scientifically, one of the reasons I picked this, scientifically, they've done studies on all shit, which I think is absolute horseshit. But they say that scientifically, this is one of the scariest movies ever made, or could be the scariest, based on like the ramp up, the tension, the content, like meaning the ancient deity type thing, the silence in places, like the watching of the murder tapes, as they say, things like that. So it's like, I went and saw this in the theater, and I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm not usually there are very few movies that unnerve me, like make me paranoid and a little weird. This one got me. And I think it has to do with the visuals and the sound more than anything. So like, I think I've talked about it on the podcast, like I can get easily visually overstimulated, and this movie gets me. So the amount of shadows, and then like when he's loading, every time he loads up the reels for that 8mm player, like the Super 8 player, and it gets all like glitchy and fast paced, like it just messes with me. So I'm like walking out in the theater to my car, like going, this is fucking bullshit. Like I was like, I just did not enjoy how I felt after this movie. And then I got over it real quick, but I like it because it makes me uncomfortable, this movie, throughout. Like, I can relate to Ethan Hawke's like character when he's like watching the tapes and he keeps looking away and he's like a little jittery and drinking. Yeah, I get it. I like this movie a lot though. That's why I picked it, because I was like, mentally it messed with me. Neither of you had seen this, right? Like, this is
no, well, I had not seen this.
Yeah, I knew you hadn't seen this. That's fair, dude. I laughed so hard when you texted me, like, because this is the one where you're texting me like, I'm not a little bitch.
Yeah,
I'm a normal bitch.
I was fine. I kid you not, I was fine. Didn't even lose any sleep over this movie.
Yeah,
until now, that's funny. Fall asleep anymore.
Yeah, and
it's just bad, man.
To me, this movie isn't really like a horror movie. It didn't really fit the billing for me. It was more like I was watching a true crime with like a supernatural linkage to it or something like that. Because obviously there was a few, like towards the end when the kids that are, what's the, not the boogeyman, what do they call it? What's that, the demon or whatever
Bagu
it is?
Bagu or Bagur.
Yeah, whatever it is. Bagul. Yeah. The kids in there and like they're running around a little bit, but they're not like overly scary or anything like that. The only thing, and this is what I texted Jay, the only thing that I didn't like jump or anything, but I was like, oh, was the video when Goal like moves in the computer in the background screen. I was like, oh, that was good. That was not expecting that at all. That got me. But like, it felt like we were watching basically a serial killer and like their trope and the story they wanted to tell, but the serial killer was a supernatural evil, super evil force that used children to do its bidding. But it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't a lot of jump scares. All this to say, to me, it was just a good movie and not really, when I, what, from what I think of horror, clearly, as you guys have listened to us this month, JJ's definition of horror is more psychological, and this fits that premise. But in terms of what I think a lot of the general public would call a horror movie, this is less horror and maybe slightly more thriller, but I wouldn't call this like a scary movie for me.
Yeah, it's definitely like, yeah, I mean, horror, yeah, it's, I want a suspense movie. Like, it's definitely suspenseful and more of a tension. Well, it's got
tension. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think, again, I think at least for me, in my definition of horror, I gravitate towards the satanic, the jump scares, like in your face, like it making you like, is this a scene where something's going to go down? And they have a lot of attention, but they just lean into more like the evil, like, wow, this is like really happening. And the way the movie ended, which I very much appreciated, was like, oh, they did that. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. They went full out on it.
They really did.
Yeah. I think one of the parts that gets me is you were talking about the kids is like when he's walking around with the baseball bat and he's like, you see the first girl when he's going by the window and that first girl's face pops up next to him. I was like, oh, geez. And the rest of them aren't jump scares, but like as he's walking around and they're walking behind him and like he can't see him, like that's like worst nightmare shit for me. Like if I'm walking around my house and something's just like creeping around and I actually don't see it, like that whole like the creative understanding that we as the audience are seeing something that the character themselves isn't, like if I'm in a movie, like if our lives are just some big movie and somewhere up there there's some weirdo watching us in this world and we're like, ha, 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 look at this dude, and I'm walking around and there's fucking ghosts walking around behind me and I have no understanding or record, like I don't know they're there, like that's my worst nightmare. Like is shit there and I don't know that it's there. Like so watching him walk through that hall and all those kids are popping up like looking at him and he's just like oblivious, I'm like, made my skin crawl, just ugh, hated it.
Well, it's the added fact that, you know, one floorboard would creak. And yeah. I just sat there like, oh, how many fucking times have I heard the floor creak and there was nothing there, but there was.
Yeah,
that's what my mind instantly went to, like, nope, there was something there. Way to go, Alec.
Yeah. And to your point, Mattson, like I like the ending of this movie a ton because it defies the typical horror trope of, no, we're gonna fucking tough it out and this house is gonna kill us, right? And it's so interesting to me that the actual trigger of dying is the leaving of the house and going back home. It's like, if you'd stuck around, you'd have been all right. I mean, you'd have had a shitty existence, but the whole goal of these ghosts and these kids is to chase you away so that you can then become the next victim. I'm like, what a fucking twist. Like, that's another piece that I'm like, this is, because most of the time, you know, they stick around till they die or they leave and then they're okay. And this one, I just love that it's like, you left. And Deputy So-and-so is like, you're fucked, dude. I put it all together and you're leaving is the worst thing you could have done. I loved that part.
It got to me too, because that's the first thing I would have done was left.
Right? Because that's what I was thinking too. As he's walking around, he crawls up. I'm like, I'm out. Like, first of all, I'm not buying a house that there was a recent murder in. Like, I'm just not doing it. I'm real. Like, I've talked about it. Like, I'll go spend the night somewhere stupid. You know what I mean? I'll go hang out somewhere stupid. But I'm not buying a house for me to live in every day and sleep and walk around. Like, one night, okay. The rest, like, an inordinate amount of years, I'm out. It ain't happening.
I think it'd have to depend on how nice the house is, what type of murder, like, was it? But if it was this type where it was unexplained and it was like, I'd be like, an easy pass. I'm like, no, thank you. And I mean, talk about a bad lie to your wife. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I can speak for two people on this podcast. It wouldn't go over well for JJ and I. If we did that, we might be dead.
Hell yeah. I certainly wouldn't have a wife Tay would, anymore.
Tay would murder me, and I know Casey would you do some type of way to Jay.
Oh, shit, dude. I'd get, yeah, I wouldn't wake up one morning. Just be like, well, the ghosts would be the least, like, fucking Bagul would be the least of my worries. Like, we need to move now, because I'd rather some kid chop me up with an axe.
That was the balls you're going to do with me. Damn, dude, like when he and his kids freaking out, and we're all the audience, obviously, we're like, well, we know why, because you're living in some bad juju.
Yeah.
When are you going to tell your wife? And then it happens and you're just like, dude, you got a real one, because she should have just up and left your ass.
Yeah, no shit. Well, and I love that they twist you with which kid it is, too, because like they set you up to think it's going to be the boy the whole time. Once you figure out what's going on, you're like, shit. And then it's the little girl that draws, and like,
oh, I knew when they showed the drawing, I knew it. I was like, oh, she's going to do something.
Yeah. I did not for once pick up on that. Like, I'm thinking, geez, because I think at my skepticism, I was like, this is such a great movie so far, but they're really fucking telling me that this kid, it's the boy, you know, he's having these night terrors. It's going to drive him cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And he's going to murder mom and dad if they don't get out of the house, right? Like, that's what I'm thinking most of the movie. That's why it's another reason I liked this, because it did get me. Like, I was like, I did not expect a lot of things that happened at the end of this movie, which is always, I respect a movie that can get me when I went on a twist. Like,
why didn't they only showed the dad dying, but I'm assuming the rest of the family died too.
Yeah, because they show her drawing it in the lid of the home video box that she chopped all three of them into three pieces. I think it's because, so I was reading about this movie not long after I saw it, and there were a lot of issues with this movie, like when they were filming it. So like the opening scene, that's another thing I want to talk about, is this is a really good bookended movie. So it opens with a really eerie, uncomfortable, like completely silent, and we're watching a murder. Like, you're like, oh, and these four people are just standing, you're like, that's not gonna end well. And then as it goes, that slow rise, and they're all kicking, and I'm glad we don't see the little girl hanging from the legs until the end. I was like, oh my god. But anyway, the opening's like brutal, but I was reading that they had a ton of problems. Like, so they hired a stunt director, a coordinator. He sets up this whole opening sequence, right? They actually bring in a tree, and they plant it with this steel rod in it so that it could actually hold the actors, the stunt people that were going to get hung up. So they had this strap, and like, anyway, there was a bunch of shit that went wrong throughout the filming of this movie. And like, I was like, one of them was at the beginning with that. And so they were trying to be cognizant of the fact that we are going pretty far with this movie. Like, it's about serial killer shit. It's about families getting murdered, kids doing it, kids dying. Like, we see a number of mowing
family members' faces off.
Yeah. And so they're like, we can intimate and kind of show the main character getting an axe, like as the axe coming down, but we can't be as brutal as to show, especially back in 2012. Like, they weren't prepared to show this little girl actually hacking away at her little brother, her big brother, or her mom. Like, so that's why they chose not to show that, and instead do it off screen. And I kind of appreciate that. Like, that's another thing I appreciate about this movie, is it's not like it's wildly violent. We do have like I think the lawnmower piece is probably one of the most, you're like, oh god. But
That one was brutal. I was like, whoa, that's something you probably had to mow him twice, because it probably wouldn't kill you the first time. Like, dude, that's brutal.
Yeah.
But like, even the kids, when they're doing when you see it later, when they do the scene where they're all doing the shh.
Yeah.
Man, like, how does that not stick in your little kid's brain? Like, you're telling, like, hey, can you sit here in the pool and look, as you know that these bodies are fake dead down here? Like, show me how you do that. And they're like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah.
What'd you do today, Billy? When your son comes home, we're like, hey, mom, this is the scene I shot today. Like, oh, yeah. Great. Yeah.
I ran around with a knife and stabbed it into a table after I slit my parents' throats.
I thought that opening scene later, I was like, is this somehow going to be their family somehow? Mm. But then I was like, well, the numbers don't add up.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, it can't be. But then I was like, well, maybe somehow it'll get edited and it is them, because I kept showing it a lot. And I, obviously that was the house they're in. But I was like, man, maybe there's more to this. But it never came to fruition that way.
Yeah, I hated that the tree was still fucked up. Like, just finish cutting that branch off. Like,
yeah, I don't know why they left that.
Yeah, I'm like, can we not leave the fulcrum lever that hung this family just laying on the ground outside your fucking bay window? Like, it's like, no thanks. That's creepy. But I get why it was for the effect, because every time you saw it, you're like reminded of that opening scene. But I think it's brilliant the way they did it in the Super 8 format, so it was silent, because you're like, I was almost craving sound besides the of the Super 8 machine, like the spindles. I'm like, I don't enjoy that noise. And that's the only noise you hear while you're watching somebody's taped up in their car with gasoline and it gets lit on fire, or, you know, like all of this. Or, and that the one where he pulls them in the pool, they're all, I was like, oh God, what a terrible way to die. So like, I think it's because it just adds again to that like creepy tension. And we've talked about before when we did like A Quiet Place, like how that just silence is unnerving. So that quiet that they would play like in moments where it was just almost dead silent really gets to me in moments. This is one of those movies that, it's one of those rare movies that even today watching it, like when I was watching it last week, I was like, this makes me uncomfortable. I was watching it on my big one. And I told Casey, I was like, she was in the kitchen baking. And I was like, I'm going in the office. It's too big. I don't need to watch this shit here. I saw it in the theater. I can watch it on a smaller screen.
It's because of the kids, man, and the way the faces they make and they deal. Like, you can't, if you can feel normal about that, something's wrong with you. So leading question here to Alec. Alec, how'd you feel?
While I was watching it, fine. The lawnmower, I was like, whoa.
He texted me about,
I was like, I don't know about that one. And then when the girl's face, like JJ was talking about, because I first thought it was his kid, like knee jerk reaction. I was like, what happened to his daughter?
Yeah.
And then when she floats, you know, behind him, I was like, oh, okay, that's a different kid. But for the most part, I had zero problems watching this. And when it goes, like, what made it interesting to me was this, you know, religious kind of bring it back full circle, where you have this church that had one fucking job, and they did it like 95% of the way and said, oh, we're good. I love something like that, because I was like, hey, you know what would have been cool? Like, church back then would have been cool. Like, hey, guys, we're gonna go out demon hunting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, something along those lines. Or, hey, we're the only people standing in between the cotton candy goblin and wanton destruction of the human race. Like, I'd sign up for that church.
Oh, shit.
Got a holy order of monks that protects the church barbecue.
There you go.
Fuck yeah. And so I was sitting there, and I love this, like, you know, occult kind of twist to it, to where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, the church did a really good job about destroying anything about this, because this dude lives through the images, right? And that's how he grows power and everything. Problem is, they forgot three, or they couldn't find three. So they destroyed all the useful information you could have had, but still didn't kill the goddamn demon.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there going, I was like, oh, church used to be cool. Church used to be really goddamn cool.
Yeah.
So once that kind of happened, I was fully distracted. And then I only got pulled back in at the very end with that final jump scare. Fuck.
Like the very, very final.
Very, very final end. Yeah, I was like, you didn't have to do that. Like, you didn't need to put that in there. And I hate
it. Which one was that again?
Very, very end. Like you see the home movie box in the attic of the new house, and it zooms out. And then, like, the last second before credits roll, Bagul's face just boom right there.
Yeah, just poof, and you're like, ugh.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
And it's really bad on a fucking giant ass screen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was fully focused at that point in my 75-inch TV, because that would have got me. So maybe, thankfully, I had, like, looked at my phone at that point.
Yeah, they got me. Because it's real fast. And I was like, ah, damn it.
I didn't let it get that far because I had seen it. I was like, nah, I'm good. I know what's coming. I have seen this shit. I know
question, that shit's there. And this movie, this happens a lot with some movies. Did this movie get money from Apple? Like, did they get a couple $1 million? Because it sure felt like at times I was watching like an ad for Mac as well.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how like product placement works anymore. Like, I know it used to be.
It was convenient. It was obviously needed, but they showed enough of the Mac. I was like, they're really making me feel like I need to buy a Mac right now.
Yeah. Well, and I will say that Apple's really funny. So the villain of a movie can't use an Apple. Like that is in their contracts. Like if you have Apple products in your movie and a villain has it, they will sue your ass. Like they can, you cannot have. That's why. So if you ever go back now, you guys will see it. Anytime you're watching a movie and the bad guy has a phone, it's a fucking Android because the Apple does not allow it to happen. It has to be a good guy or a non entity character to use an Apple product. So no villains.
Android just don't give a fuck. Anybody.
Yeah. They're like, fuck it. We'll be the bad guys. Most of the time they are to Apple, but
yeah, it just felt like a little bit of product placement. But I also wanted to say I did enjoy that scare that they did through the computer screen. I thought that was really, really clever. And I'm trying to think of other movies that I've experienced that in like a screen within a screen. And I can't. Like they did a really good job with that. That was unique. And then obviously at the end with the projector again and like the kids like being a part of the scene and following. And I was like, oh, like that's different.
Yeah. There was a lot of things that were done a little differently in this movie than you typically see that really worked. And I'm with you. Like you've seen it in like paintings and shit behind stuff moving or statues and stuff. But that one was a really good one, especially because the media, like it was right after he finds out that the medium is images that this dude, and then you see his face and just turns. You're like, oh, what the, and it's subtle enough that you're not like, ah, it's just like, what did he fucking move? Like I will say though, like in images, because they're all distorted and slow because it's Super 8 or it's like a picture of Super 8, the bad guy Bagul is like creepy and kind of terrifying, but like in real time, like when you see him when he pops out in the attic and he falls down the attic shit and he's having the, he pisses himself, and then at the end when he, like I was like, eh, it was less than. Like, I wish they wouldn't have shown him that clear. Because I was like, eh, his face looked too fake for me. But in the pictures, like, the first time you see him in the pool and he's just standing there under the water, I was like, that's fucking, no. And then the bushes behind the tree and it's like just this, and it's all distorted. I'm like, God, don't go to the fucking bushes. Why would you walk over there, you ass clown? So there's moments, but like that was one of my only beefs of the movies. Like, I don't want to see him in real because like it just, I was like, nah, the effects just didn't work as well as like the distorted video and images for me. Like, I like that where you never actually see them. Make it one of the kids that pops out, you know what I mean? And he's standing in the screen behind it. You're like, oh.
It's funny you say that because at times I feel like I could use more Bull, but in the ways that they were doing it, still keeping it kind of under wraps, but I wanted a little more. I think it would have, I don't know. I just liked how they did it, and I think they could have woven in a little bit more. I would have appreciated it even more a little bit, but I understood the concept and why, but I think that was really one of my only gripes because I thought at some point, like, an encounter is going to happen with the entity itself, but we never quite got that.
Yeah. I think it's fair. I think that's fair. Like I could have gone with some more like almost, and we'll talk about this next time, but like more Ring style shit where like maybe they walk by a TV and they don't notice it turn on, but like it turns on behind them and you see his face all distorted or something and it turns off. Like that could have been cool.
Or but like that, or like that, you take that and run with it a little bit. Think about, because this, what's the main character's name? Ethan Hawke's character? I don't remember. The dad's name was called the dad. maybe this is the first time that someone was truly investigating and piecing this together. And I thought that could have been a reason why Bull would have had to like ramp things up a little bit, you know, and maybe as you talked about the TV scene, like it turned on and he like talks to him and like says like or whatever. Like think it. I just thought about that. And I was like, that could have been really creepy and just like would have had a reason why to justify him doing more than staying so behind the scenes because of that. And I think if it was a great movie, but if I was if you added that in, like I think that would have been scarier and pretty over the top in a great way.
Yeah. I would have utilized the kids a little more too, in like not like them like their bodies and faces, but like noises of kids. Like I know they used a lot of like them stomping around and shit, but I think like maybe a giggle here and there,
like a little you could creepy hear, giggle. Like,
like I, you know, because sometimes like I said, little kids in scary movies are the worst. Like they're just the scariest shit. But like, when he's like wandering around, like you get the bangs and the stomps, like a little giggle right before he checks on his kids. Oh my God, that would have been great. Or like a help me or something, like, or like a whisper
in here.
Fuck. I seriously like,
no, that is not
like all these little tweaks. This would have taken from like a suspense movie with some tension to like, I mean, it would have been full blown hair horror, and where Alec would have been like, oh, I'm so proud of myself. He would have been peeing in a corner.
Yeah. But I was so proud of myself. And even without that, I'm still fucking peeing in the corner.
Could you imagine like he's walking by his kid's room and he sees that they're asleep, and then he walks by and you just hear daddy, and then like he turns around to go back and there's nothing there, but behind him there's like one of those kid. Oh fuck.
Yeah.
No, if you're gonna do something like that, walk by, see the kid in the bedroom, have him walk and then see his kid in the hallway, like because they're coming back from the bathroom or something.
That's fair. That would have been good. Yeah, that would have been good. I like those moments. Don't worry. In our next, we've got some topics coming up that our patrons are going to vote for. I'm going to get Alec. I got a new one for one of our topics. I'm leaning in. But this movie, yeah, I like it quite a bit. Any other thoughts on it?
Let's rate it.
All right. Me first, right? This is my movie. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I think for me, because it's so different from what you expect, like it plays against a lot of the norms and the tropes that we see in horror movies, like the things that we're talking about, like you stay in the house, or the house actually finally wins, or you leave and you're safe and everything's okay. And like this one's like, gotcha. You know what I mean? And then the use of kids, like it's creepy. The tension ramps from beginning to end. Like I feel like it takes you on this journey with Ellison is his name, with Ethan Hawke. And Ethan Hawke does such a good job going from this confident, I'm going to make this work, I'm going to write this book, I'm going to figure this shit out, like he's an asshole to the sheriff at the very beginning. And then he's just, by the time he's leaving, he's just broken, just terrified guy that's like pensive when he's talking to the sheriff. And, you know, you were right, I'm leaving, I'm out of here, I'm not even going to write a book. So I feel that, and I feel like I get to that level with Ethan Hawke through this movie. So I really enjoy that part of it. I do think that there needed to be a little more. As tense as I was, like they could have made me actually go, this movie scared the shit out of me, as opposed to saying, I went home a little unnerved and I didn't really want to, like I was a little creeped out and I was a little seeing shadows and shit, instead of going, I slept with my fucking lights on. You know what I mean? So I think that would be the only thing that I would add. I think the timing's good. I think the pacing's good. It's just a good movie. So 4.5 for me. Would I watch it again? Like, I think I would, but it's like Alec and his, there's gotta be some space in between. Cause this one does make me uncomfortable for a day or two after watching it. Just cause the tension. Well,
don't hang out with your nephews the day before or the day after, cause you'll feel terrible.
I bet. Like, hey, you can't sleep here. You gotta go. That's all right, Madsen. What do you rate it?
I'm gonna give it 4.5. The only reason it's not a 5 is I think we're doing horror movies this month and it's been trained in my brain. This movie should have been scarier. This is a great movie, but it wasn't I think it could, like we talked about, I think they could have done a little bit more, and man, it could have really been terrifying. This movie was creepy and had tension and was disturbing. Anytime you put kids in it, it's not going to make, if you feel good about that, then you need to go get yourself checked. But I think it could have been a little bit scarier. Other than that, though, well acted, very interesting. Didn't follow the typical Hollywood ending, which I think is to be commended. I mean, I'll be honest. I was like, oh, I literally said, I was like, wow, they did that. Okay. That just happened. And I appreciate that, because I think it's just too easy to wrap a nice bow on things. Really good movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it. You won't feel like, it feels weird to recommend watching this movie, because it's a good movie, but it doesn't, it won't make you feel good. It won't make you feel like remotely good. And if you have kids,
hey, my finger stinks. Can you smell it?
Yeah, exactly. If you have kids, or you have nephews or nieces, like, maybe don't go see them for a little bit. Like, you don't want to think of them as like killers. And yeah, it's a weird movie to recommend. Will I ever watch it again? No, but if someone was like, let's watch this, I mean, I'd watch it, but I'm going to stay away from kids.
What's wrong with you?
Taylor never let you watch this. She didn't watch this one with you, right?
Like, oh, dude, Jay, I'll just say it now. If this was the...
She would have killed me.
If you... Well, when I texted you, hopefully you were smart enough, you would have said, do not.
In
all capital letters, do not watch this with Tay, because it would have been over. Yeah. I might have been pulled from the podcast.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
we were this close, JJ.
No, Jay, when we come out in May, she would have given wrath to you.
Yeah, I would have. She was super pissed at me about Talk to Me. Like, if I had, she had watched this one because of the kid stuff. Oh, fuck, dude.
I think she would have personally called you and berated you.
I would have been in trouble. Like, serious fucking, like, I'd had two women that I'd sleep with one eye open for. So, yeah, fucking, all right, there we go. Well, that's fair. Good point. Alec, bring us home, buddy.
Oh, boy.
God, I want your door to open again right now.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fucking nice?
It would be.
It's a tricky one, because the movie itself was decent, right? A decent movie. Now, I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I felt pretty good about myself until, like I said, about 48 hours ago when weird shit started happening to me. But before that, I was feeling very arrogant and cocky about my newfound bravery.
Yeah.
I'm not recommending anybody watch this. Like, there is never any reason to watch this movie. Never, ever, ever, ever. And if you think, maybe I should, don't. Yeah. There's never a good reason to do it. I highly don't recommend. There fucking goes again.
Fuck. I haven't mowed my lawn this week, and it's never gonna be the same.
Now it's closing itself. Great, that's good.
It's beautiful. If Pagul
grabs me, this is not a joke. I didn't do anything. She's at work. So this is great.
Congratulations. I'm turning this fucker off.
Three. Don't watch this movie. Don't even think about watching this movie. It's not a good decision.
Oh, you're giving it a three?
I'm Alec. Giving it a three. No, shut up, Madsen.
That's funny.
I'm not having a good time doing this.
I love every bit of this. It's great. Yeah, just in case you were wondering, everybody dies in this movie. there's no good ending to it. So spoilers there. But yeah. Oh, this is a fun movie to rate. I'm glad you're having a hard time there.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that, JJ.
You're welcome. That was the whole goal for this month for me. So with that, Alec, tell everybody where they can find us when they're not laughing at your door opening behind you.
Sure. Thanks for tuning into our review of Sinister. Many think this is the scariest movie ever made. I don't know what to say about that, but strange shit has been happening ever since I watched it, so maybe it is. Aside from, you know, this was a pretty enjoyable movie month. This is week 4 or 5 for horrors, and until this moment, it has been, you know, pretty nice month of movies. Never expected to say that, so, you know, thanks to our patrons, So Puckered, Max by Ali Stock, and Rich, for making said selection. And if you guys like the content, subscribe so you don't miss out on what's coming up next. We've got one more horror film, and then we are moving on to, I believe it's Broadway productions for May.
It is.
Something much more my speed. Can't wait for that. So with that, I'll send it back to the Colossus of Cloud, the King of Crash, JJ.
Yeah. And just on one final note, this movie, one of the reasons it was rated the scariest movie, it was based on heart rate beats per minute in 2020 and then held the crown until 2021. But I don't know what beat it out. But
one that long.
Yeah. Doesn't take much. Anyway, so with that, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Hasta la vista, baby. Cinematic.